You fall out of the cascading eternity of the drift into real space again. And drift down onto the surface of Brightclaw and into the spaceport of Mercy's Rest. You guys are landing inside the keep? Bless you.
Yes.
Great. So you settle down. What's the plan? What's the plot? What are you guys up to? Both immediate. So let's talk about big plan first, before, because that's going to guide our immediate actions.
Right.
I'm pro investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So turning this ship around and going back, and peeping around, maybe under the guise of let's negotiate more, or just sneaky.
So, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, I was just going to say the first is probably the easiest because it's hard to be inconspicuous.
Yeah, Amaruk is all for going back immediately and trying to investigate, but I think she wants to be clear with Hackland about what they know. Because I think she feels that if she can submit a report that they discovered this person, that they helped them escape because slavery is wrong and bad and is not tolerated on Brightclaw, then that is a clear voice on where they stand as a people. And he was bold enough to say to her, you know, I won't deal with you if you are under the thumb of Elo Ketch, right? So she feels she has a duty to say the same to him and also offer their services that if he doesn't want to get involved because he thinks that could make the situation implode, then we are absolutely for hire as far as people to figure out what exactly might be going on.
Yeah.
Great.
Because I think that she truly, even if it's stupid, right, I think she truly does not believe the person that she has had these intimate conversations with is capable of being such a bastard. His family, sure. But, like, I don't think, based on her insight, on her sense motive checks and everything else, that she believes that he's capable of that. Or she's just not letting herself believe that. Either way, doesn't really matter.
Cool.
So, in my notes, I have Hecklin's son, Brock, written as shits on him, and he won't talk to us. And that's the only thing I have on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, we shit on him. We take him out back. And we poop on him.
And we poop right on his chest.
Great poopon.
Cool. So we'll start there. And then see what happens. When the poo hits. So that's kind of where I am as Anne and as Amaruk as far as what we should do. Bye, Helena. but as far as what we should do with Euralia before we leave... That's like a whole other question. Because it's sort of a delicate situation. We need to find her a place where she is going to be comfortable and feel taken care of. And I'm more than happy to find her a place where she can do that. But I will have to ask her, is she going to feel comfortable in the keep? If she is, she's going to be under surveillance because we survey everything that goes on in the keep. And I don't want to trigger her after being under like close lock and key for so long. But does she want to go live in town? Can we rent her an apartment?
I'm like free to come and go.
Well, I don't see why not.
Okay. And I mean, it's not, that's fine.
Okay.
Right? There's not, like, a camera in my bathroom, right?
No. Oh, my God, no.
Well,
I don't know.
That's awful. There's one in mine, but only because it's hard to see beneath my tail.
everyone's head swivel.
This episode and Dog Butt. Look, what's going on?
This episode so brought to you by Dog Butt.
I'm so sorry.
We all just broke. Just shattered. Right.
I'm Jabberwocky, and you're listening
so
to
you're ready to
Dog Butt.
Oh my god. Sphincter, sphincter, sphincter with the wand. Yeah. All right.
You know what? I don't know what it's going to take. Is it? What if we? Could we?
Yeah, you guys absolutely have diplomatic rooms.
Could we dedicate one star shard to giving her time and resources to figure out what she wants to do with her life?
Yeah, that's remarkably generous.
Well, it feels like if you were actually going to, I mean, all of her conversation with Castor was about, like, how do we know that she genuinely is going to be able to feel like she's able to do what she wants rather than be just in another version of slavery,
but
right?
You absolutely
so you give
can.
Someone, if you give someone enough resources, then technically she could buy her own ship. She could get the hell out of here if she wants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather have her to have complete freedom and understand that her freedom is complete.
Fantastic.
Than wonder about it and maybe cause problems.
So you have to go take care of that diplomatic everything, right? And that'll probably take a day while the ship reloads. What is everyone else doing?
Can we give your friend a tour around everywhere?
Right, yeah. So you guys, like, leave the ship and you make this suggestion, and Eurelia just kind of, like, sits down on a piece of cargo and is like, no, I'd rather just sit for a little while. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I'd, like...
Totally.
I haven't gotten to just watch people.
Ooh, the people watching here is real weird.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out for my pal, Victor. He has, he doesn't have any eyes, but he has this, like, bandana that he, like, wraps around his head. But he's really sour and super grumpy, but super fun to watch.
Sounds like my kind of dude. Thanks, Kia.
Yeah.
While this is happening, I walk off to a local ice cream vendor and get Moji Berry ice cream cones for everybody.
Yeah, beach episode. No, I'm kidding. It's not.
I
but
need
it,
a beach
little
episode.
Bit is. Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Great.
And we're like, before like, we go and eradicate slavery from this planet, let's have some ice cream.
Let's have some ice cream. Great. Mm-hmm. So you do that. What is everyone doing with their 24 hours?
I guess finding Eurelia a place to, you know, just be, you know?
Yeah, I mean, she's got that taken care of, right? She kind of seems to want to, like, do her own thing.
It's her first time doing it in a really long time.
Yeah.
Great, awesome.
So as much as you want to, like, hover over her, she keeps pushing you away.
Gotcha.
Which hurts, I think, but...
Yeah, but I have to give her space. Let's see.
I'm going to be making some adjustments and tinkering to a little project that I'm doing that's a little insectoid.
Ooh.
So I'll be working in my lab.
Oh, cool. So you are... What are you doing with this insectoid? What are you doing with the insectoid, Kia?
Making a bomb.
No, it's
bug bomb.
It's a thing. It's a new thing. Mm-hmm. In which I can do stuff.
I'm just gonna let this lie because you're clearly not gonna tell me anything.
Let it happen. Let it happen, my friends.
Okay,
hopefully
great.
In this next saga, it'll come
you're
up.
You're making a bug. Cool. Great. Enough for me, cool. Jabby.
I would go get some water packets. Mm-hmm. Just so I have very, like 12 little water bottles. Just as adding that to my stuffs. And then go to the lab and
just do some rolling on the
great.
Oh, I wanted to like start a program where. Oh no, that's creepy. Never mind, that's bad. I just realized Jabby. That was morally reprehensible.
Every time I ask Jabby, he's like, well, I'm going to do this completely weird thing that you won't understand, and then I'll go work on my projects. And I'm like, why do you need those 12 prosthetic arms? I don't know, maybe for later.
It's just good to know I have options. It's fine.
Yeah, I actually want to take some of, like, see if I can borrow some of the swarm samples from Kia, so I can start working on like a Hulk out serum.
She's not with it.
No, you totally can. Like, you come into the lab and you see that, like, out of her back, she's like kind of like trying to get herself into a bug dump. It looks like one of the bug dumps.
Oh my god.
And she's like trying to fit herself in. She's like, damn it, shit.
As soon as you lock eyes, he does that. Like fur bristle from the toes to the top, like in a Ghibli movie, like the.
Oh my god!
Eyes go wide, like.
Hey. It's in beta. It's in beta. Okay, it's not ready. Don't look at me. Turn around.
Okay. I turn around.
She like takes it off and like stuffs it in a closet. He goes, yes.
It goes.
Did I pretend I didn't hear that?
What? Hear what? What do you need?
I see. Okay, cool. Great. That works. I was wondering, so you know the swarm?
Yes.
Yes? Well, yeah. Oh. Okay, so you know how we felt like really powerful when you were tapped into that hive mind and you could like feel the strength of the suit, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
What if we could make a serum where we can like push, like inject it into you, and then you just kind of like Hulk out for a little bit, like get real strong, you know, basically like channel the swarm's power.
I made something similar with some toxins, but
ooh.
I mean, maybe, well,
neurotoxins,
yes, I can't remember exactly what kind of toxins. I haven't used them in a while. It's basically an adrenaline inject into yourself like a super soldier.
Oh.
But I have yet to use that. Anyway, I've made it this far. But if you want, I can give you some samples of the samples.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yes, of course. Over here I have a whole section, it's color coded. This is the purple section, that's for the hive mind.
The purple for the hive. Okay, see, that's really cool because I just have a mess.
I'm so sorry. Do you want me?
No,
I love to organize. I can come in and fix everything.
You know, I actually felt physical pain at the thought of someone organizing my mess. That's a new learning experience for me, so thank you for that.
Yeah, that's anytime, really cool. Anytime. Why? But yeah, no, here.
Why are all my scientists mad? Too, great. So, in brief... Another awkward, terrible goodbye from Elaine.
Literally, my entire takeaway from watching that scene was, oh my god, there are two of them.
Like, I know, right? Why are all my scientists mad?
Yeah, it's great. You mad, bro? Yes, the answer is yes. So I want to say that aside from like organizing, you know, my bank account to get this star shard. Mm-hmm. Ready for, and it's basically that Euralia can come pick it up at her leisure from Dirtbath. Mm-hmm. Like, she'll sign in, he'll give her whatever is left, yeah. Yada yada. She's gonna take the time to chat with the Vlaka, and the conversation is with Goruk and her mother, primarily.
Your mom didn't come.
Okay. Sorry. Then her mom's not there.
That's the first time.
Her sister, it's fine. Who else is it? Doesn't matter. People are there. Yeah. Clan Yuga, Pride. Yeah. Okay. So she basically launches into a discussion with them that goes a little something like this. I've come to understand that there might be, we have to decide what kind of people we want to be. For a long time, we have been treated as the best diplomats and the most balanced and kind-hearted people when it comes to dealing with fair trade and everything else. But we are on the edge of space. We are living amongst mercenaries, and that does not mean that we should let ego and greed consume us, but it does mean that we need to make a strong stance on where the line is. And that goes also for our allies. And she will tell them what they've heard about the potential of slaves being used by the dwarves. And so I suppose, as Vlaka, because I am so visibly in the front of this, this could determine what people think of our people in general, depending on how this goes.
Well, be careful.
Waruk.
No. Shut your big yapper and listen for a moment. Be careful. Don't get ahead of yourself here, because you're right. You are overextending a little too much, putting your hands in another king's pile. It's a little much. I agree. We have to make a decision. But look, the slavery is entirely illegal in the Pact Worlds. A little bit of information or a tip-off would go a long way to sending these other people diving into the dirt, and their lucrative contracts would all dry up. So I don't think we have to push too hard. What are you intending to do? You're just going to talk to him, yeah?
I don't think he is capable of something like this. Not the person that I know. And I know you and I have an uncanny way of tugging on the stars
what?
To determine why people are the way that they are. But I have a feeling,
yes,
that whatever this is, I truly do not think that he knows about it. And if he did, I think he would be heartsick.
Well, then, go talk to him.
And then once we find out, I think they have resources that we need. I say we offer our services in rooting out whatever's going on so that he can go about business. He's a dying man. I don't think he's ready to make some kind of expedition, even within his own ranks.
Sure. I honestly, Amaruk, I don't have much counsel to give you here. Just don't play to your hand too quick. You're right. We don't want to get caught in the mire, and don't offer too much, and don't send Vlaka to die for some idiot's mistake. He can clean up his own mess. He's a big boy, it sounds like. And, as you say, maybe not even his fault. Maybe he gets to clean up his own bullshit, and then he gets to look big and strong. So you can do him more favors by letting him be king than by trying to be queen everywhere.
I definitely don't want to be queen everywhere. I barely wanted to be queen here. But duty finds you, you know.
Great. Well, I mean, God, inform your new friend. It sounds like he could be good for us.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that...
We don't have slaves here. I'm not trading in slaves. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying I want to make sure that we all feel the same way. That if there is unspeakable evil nearby, that we will not tolerate it.
At what expense? That's the question. We don't have an army, Amruk.
I know.
So maybe we just stick to our own borders for now.
Okay. Okay.
Go tell your friend. Absolutely. And I trust... I mean, I don't know. I can't see him myself. I trust my own understanding of people much more than I trust yours. But you were the one there. Look, you wanted me to be honest. I'm being honest. You see the good in people. And I see the bad. So go. I think it's better to tell him and find out the hard way.
Yeah. What?
And's like, yep, fuck this. Nope, got fucked. No.
I hate it. Okay, cool. Yeah, she opens her jaw, her maw, as mm-hmm. if to say something, and she turns on her heels and like pats her sister on the shoulder and is heading out, and then she turns back and says, looks over her shoulder at Goruk, and she says, Goruk, seeing the worst in people all the time sounds pretty exhausting. And then she walks out.
And you hear your sister go, and he goes, it is. Oh. Mopey sad boy, doggo. So
sucks to suck!
Oh my god. Don't you ever get close to your microphone again.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. Just right there.
It's just right here.
Oh no, that is too close to my ear.
Oh, Jesus.
So, Parker, you were thinking about what you wanted to do. Now was the time to make that decision.
Great. I feel Caster would be looking for a pet to take care of, because he needed a hobby, and like, I think just meeting Euralia again just kind of activated just some hole to open up.
Okay, great. What kind of pet do you want, Caster?
We already have a squawks.
Who owns the squawks, technically?
Me. It hangs out with me in my lab.
Great, excellent.
Shiz wants you to get a cat.
Space cat.
I'm going to have to do some research about that, unless...
Why don't you get a three-eared bunny? A sick three-eared bunny.
All right, cool. Aww. Yeah, great. So you do some research. You go and sit in the Vesk bar, right? Do what you were doing kind of before you left, right? And as soon as you come in the door, you realize that there's a rarely here, but very friendly face. James is here. But James is not James from the orbital platform, you guys may remember.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's here, but he's not dressed in his jumpsuit stained with coffee and grease. He is dressed very well. And is courting the attention of two remarkably attractive gnomes.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
You got a glow up.
So ready.
And so she is, or he is, as when you come in, right, his eyes like drift over and he sees you. He goes, oh, hey, Castronan.
Oh, no.
Rooks. Wolfie, right? That's you.
Warfare.
That's the one.
Excuse me, lady. I gotta go. I see you got a good old friend right here. Give me one moment. Caster, how are you? How's all the thing? What are you up to down on the earth with the gravity? Oh, it's tough. I can barely lug my butt all around here. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Well, we just came back from a diplomatic mission in the Mashal system. And
important sound.
Good news all around.
I like good news. You know, I got good news myself. I've been having a bit of good news myself. Landed a solid contract with Mega Fuel, so they're pulling all my gas and bringing it back to Pack Worlds. There's a wonderful situation. I'm making loads and loads of credits. Like buckets and barrels of garbage dump fulls. So I thought I'd come down after a long time. I've been hiring new people. We're spanning up there is a big thing.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I want to be before about it because I'm sorry about our deal. It kind of swept under the rug and was slow and told me to give you fuel and was like a little shady, you know. That wolf she kind of gets a little demanding, right? So I just want to, in case I'm stepping on any toes, just want to apologize. Just be clear.
Oh yes. Shucks. No need to apologize.
Oh, thanks. Shucks.
That's. It's what we do. We save you. We give you tit for tat, I guess, you know? You're absolutely welcome here on Bright Claw.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. You cast with you're looking mad sharp. A little worried though. You okay?
Worried?
Yeah, you got a little bit of haze worried? Around the eyeballs.
Well, maybe there were some bad news, but we're handling it.
Am I played to take all pry? You know what I mean? I'm only in town for one night. Yeah. I don't know my business. You take care of it. You got it. You eat it on up, all right?
Yes, I do. I do got it. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thank you, James.
Have a good one. Good luck.
You too. And good luck.
And he goes back to his two Namish people. What was that, Parker?
No, I just said great.
Great. Fantastic. So I'm wondering how much of that you guys understood. Which is kind of the best part of that character.
I don't understand anything that just happened. I'll be real with you. I am not.
I'm pretty sure he's now working with like a big time oil and gas company.
Yeah.
And that he's worried that he swept us under the rug.
Yeah. You guys had made a tentative deal with him that you would get the rights
to
export
your stuff.
So he's
saying he fucked us.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's my money?
And he's making up for it, question mark?
No, he's not.
No.
Wow.
No.
Oh, I was just so happy to see him.
God damn it, Caster!
You didn't secure the deal!
Caster. Oh, he's so cute.
No! He's losing us our money. We don't have any resources.
Well, let's steal some.
Court martial!
We need trade goods.
You guys are Jesus losing them by
Christ.
The second because you're not hopping on them.
seal the deal.
Fantastic.
Oh God, no.
So you start looking at different pets, and we'll let you do the rest of that looking between games, Parker.
Totally. Yeah, I like that.
A night comes, and as it's like as the short night is beginning to go, you all head to bed and pull down your blinds to block out the coming sun. And just as you're starting to wake, whose text sound is that?
Sorry, I have no idea. It's probably me, and I'm trying to stop it. But I can't tell where it's coming from, is the thing. So I'm working on it.
Great.
I'm working on it.
So you, Caster, you're the one who is going to recognize this. Absolutely. The sun is just going down and you're just starting to wake up and get ready to take off for another day when you hear very clearly the Kingfisher's engine.
God damn it.
How far away is the Kingfisher from where I am?
It's just starting up. And like
it's just starting
pulling up, yeah.
Oh, like it's leaving.
Yeah.
Well. Are you
left. Anne has left the screen. For a second, I thought that you had just gotten up and gone, but instead, you just muted yourself so you could scream.
I mean, I wasn't pleased.
You have the in-system comms, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Then I'm going to try and contact Kingfisher.
Silence.
All right, can I make a computer's check to, like, kind of hack in?
Yeah, can't we ground it? How do we make this stop happening to us? Every time we've left the Kingfisher, we've described it as, like, we put it in lockdown so that only we can operate it.
Mm-hmm. Click, click!
Click, click! Is that so hard? GM!
God.
Can you lock my fucking car?
It's fine. We just now have to be paranoid.
Well, we've been paranoid this whole time, and nothing's ever happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
And dice will do what dice do.
Okay. Well, I hate dice. No, I'm kidding.
Oh,
I love
good.
Them.
This is taking into account everything that you guys have done. Yeah.
Okay.
Just so you're aware, so you don't feel cheated too heavily. Caster, you're still the only one who knows about this.
She says,
asked about
if you had gotten
a
cat,
computer
this
check.
Wouldn't have happened.
You could absolutely try to hack into the computer systems.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that.
Go for it.
That's a 30.
Great. So you get some access. It seems like a bunch of the internal passwords and encryption has been changed. You are able to access, the doors, and you're able to access the onboard cameras.
The doors as in, like, all the doors, like, in the ship?
Mm-hmm.
And then the cameras as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, can I see who's piloting or is on the ship?
It's Euralia.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
This bitch. I gave her a star shard. A star shard!
I gave her my sweater! She has my sweater!
Infinitely more sweater. Important.
Jabberwock
I gave
sips
her my
tea.
Holy moly. Well, I'm just going to close all the doors on the ship then.
Mm-hmm.
Just to know that, you know, I'm in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a warning.
Great. She like looks behind her, and you catch like a look of her face, and there's this mask of desperation and also excitement.
Fuck. All right. All right. Then I guess I'm gonna contact the crew.
Great.
She what?
Open up all the doors. If you have access to the doors, just open up the doors. She'll get sucked into the void of space.
Can I deploy the drones?
Oh, all of the
drones. Deploy the fucking drones!
Is there like...
eyes just wig out, like rolling back into the head.
And she also is going to call cybersecurity because this should not happen. Client tech.
She's like, IT?
Yeah. No, but I mean, literally. To be clear, they have ships.
Yeah.
And they are supposed to be watching out for this shit.
They have a ship. That destroyer in the sky, right? That's in orbit.
Okay, well then it's one step forward. And I'm going to be like, I'm going to tell them that someone has stolen our ship. And that it needs to be
absolutely
tractor beamed?
Yeah, we got it. We don't have a tractor beam on this ship, but we do have it on scopes. It looks like it's staying inside Atmo. It's heading northeast from where you are.
Towards J?
Yeah, towards Point J. Give me a second.
What's Point J again?
That's well, respect. Why don't we go to our battle cam and we can see.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. It's roll 20 map. Yeah, wow. So it's going a little bit northerly than easterly, and it is, after a couple seconds, they send you graphics, and it's heading on a straight line towards J.
Oh, my.
Towards J.
Mm-hmm. Yum. Have we been to J?
You absolutely have been to J.
Is that where the big fucking plant was?
No.
No. What's it, Jay?
Jay was the sunken city.
City? I don't think I was there for that.
Mermaids?
You were not there for that, Jay.
Yeah, the one where I really wanted there to be mermaids and there absolutely weren't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember it well. Okay, well, how are we going to get over there?
What else do you guys remember about Jay?
Wasn't that where we found Dirtbath?
In the sun? No. That was over where Desna's wing is.
What was the city then? What was that city then?
B. Or A, excuse me.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, this one we scanned looking for signs of like life because I really wanted there to be like an underwater city and there wasn't, and there no matter how much. Yeah, no matter how much I signaled to Miles that that's what I wanted, he didn't add it to the game.
He said no.
In the moment.
Yeah.
So it didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm just going to remind you all of this. You went to Jay searching for the final pod.
Right.
You found one last insane mercenary and footsteps
and
leading
murder.
Into the sea of blood.
Yep.
Giant footsteps.
Yep.
Woof.
Uh-oh. Right. Amazing how you walk out the truly
my
traumatic
personal favorite illustration of Surprise is Mums.
Yeah, yeah.
Of
it's
this
really
moment
good.
That
yeah.
is just harrowing.
Okay, and that was Jay.
Yikes.
Okay, so can't you ask her why she's going there? Can't we? Isn't this like a hostage situation where she's holding our ship hostage? Should we not? I don't know how to deal with this. Should we not try to just ask her what she wants and try to help her?
I say we borrow a ship and follow her.
Okay. Well, what ship, though?
A ship.
You guys rush down to the spaceport, right? And there's this one kind of janky look at merchant. Excuse me. There's this one kind of janky looking merchantman that is just sitting. It's the only ship sitting in port. It looks like it's offloaded all of its cargo, right? A bunch of different computer chips, and its pilot and presumably captain. This kind of like he is a salamander, right?
Like a little one?
That's so much better than what I was doing. Yes, absolutely. Oh, a literal salamander is
like... where's the captain? Oh, God, I almost stepped on him.
Oh, no.
He's sitting down there, and he's smoking a cigarette, and he says, "Oi, what you need?"
By order of the queen, we need your car insurance. God damn it. Aflac. No, that's the duck. Okay, so... she goes, by order of the queen, a.k.a. me, we need to commandeer your ship for the day, but we will bring it back.
Are you paying?
I can give you my... I was just like, I can give you my ID. I promise I'll come back.
No! Yeah, we'll pay you. We'll pay you.
No. All right, here I go. And he like...
I say I'll give you 100 credits. Just take us
into
there.
The tiniest cockpit chair you've ever seen. His little gecko salamander hands grip on the cockpit. This is so fucking funny.
But like it's two hands on one little ball thing.
His tongue comes out and licks his eye, and you guys take off and shoot off into space.
Gotta get that good eye juice.
His ship, he has like a cargo ship, right? Which is obviously like all the cargo parts are done by these large, very sad looking forklift bots who are like so surprised that taking off. Oh, whoa, oh, God, oh, already we were scheduled to leave later, sir.
I miss Mark.
And you guys zip off towards Jay.
Yeah.
You're much slower than the Kingfishers. The Kingfisher actually settles down and lands at Jay.
This bitch.
And you all zip over. Actions? What are you guys doing? Talk to me. Talk to me. Yeah.
Readying my weapon. Please.
I turn to Caster, and I am like, you know, checking all my gear and everything, and I say, before we go in here, is there anything that you know about what she might want to do in a place like this?
No idea. I'm trying to figure that out myself, to be
this
frank.
The second time she's tried to steal our ship. And this time actually means something because she knew it was yours. And I just want you to remember that.
She did also succeed.
I mean, good on her, you know, but like, that she knew. Friends don't steal other friends' ships without consequences.
And I'm not going to forget it. I'm certainly not.
I mean, that's your ship, man.
You sound like you've... oh my God. But his accent...
Who knows? Another salamander.
You sound like you have a very complicated group dynamic between the five of you.
Yeah, it's really weird.
How's that going for you? You figured it out?
It's really weird.
Is it really weird?
It's really weird.
It's really strange.
Yeah. Do you want to come with?
It's unfortunate. I mean, a little bit. You pay well. I mean,
yeah, you want to come?
As a taxi service.
We have 100 credits for you. How does that sound?
I mean, yeah, I already agreed to the job.
Oh, okay, great.
What do you
pay?
What do you pay weekly?
That's a whole other conversation.
I'm so sorry.
We'll negotiate with your people.
Completely distracted by my new favorite character. I'm no longer just the GM. I'm also playing Fred. The salamander co-pilot.
Fred the salamander. Fred is my co-pilot.
That's a t-shirt I want.
Noted.
So you... you arrive over. What are you guys doing? What's the action here?
So, I guess we should I want to try and track. Is anybody else better at tracking, like with the survival check?
Oh, so you guys are trying to land? Just landing straight
away? Are we close enough?
We should scan for her. Scan for her first.
Great. Absolutely. Fred's going to make that computer check. Fred's gonna roll a 5. He's like, "Well, they're a little busted, but we do what we can. I mean, it's hard to see pirates coming, but
okay. Would you mind if like one of us use the computers? Because I'm not gonna lie, we're really good at it, and I don't know your life, but
well, you could, but the controls are really small.
I just kind of surreptitiously cast mending, just generally as I walk around. Like,
all right, go ahead and one of you roll a computer's check. with disadvantage, because it's tiny.
Great. I have a 16 on computers. Does anyone else want to roll that?
Yeah, no, that's 3 higher than me, boo.
Okay. With disadvantage, here we go. Ooh, I'm so glad. That's a 31. So I rolled a 2 and a 15.
Disadvantage, you get that 2.
Oh, that's... Yeah, you're right. I get that too. What? But it's 2 plus...
Isn't that 17 or 18?
It's 2 plus 18.
Yeah.
Sorry, 2 plus Absolutely. 16, which is 18.
So she's right around there. You can't exactly tell where, but there's a bunch of life signatures, and one of them is clearly the Shunta.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You guys slide down and settle onto one of these large, rusting and silver and concrete skyscrapers, right? And begin to make your way down carefully as bits and pieces of this thing are collapsing off the side. And this place is entirely different in the day. One second for my notes. Oh, wrong keys. There are these... teal singing birds with these bright yellow heads that flit back and forth between the buildings, and these as one of them slides, you see this gliding form fly by and just thump, snapped one of them up before it lands like a basketball on one of the on one of the lower structures, and it unfolds, and it's this three-armed like octopus thing that starts to tear apart the bird as it sits. There's also these
it's beautiful.
These large trees that kind of dangle down below. You can see the like waves of seaweed coming down from like sprouting out from the edges of these buildings, and their large egg seed sacs pressing up against the edge of the water. And you're surprised to see, right as you reach this lower level, something stands up near you. And it's this large giraffe-like creature that has, it's like blue and purple all the way down with like various different spots. And it reaches up and plucks one of these juicy pieces of fruit from the greenery that's growing on the side of the building and chews it while it ponders your existence. This large brown eye just staring at you.
May I approach it slowly and with caution?
Yeah, absolutely.
The devil.
Cool.
Make an animal handling check.
Oh.
And what is animal handling in this? Life
science? Oh, it is life science. You're right.
Minus 5 DC for zoology, mister.
All right, there it is.
Let you know. Oh.
So devil giraffe.
You know it? That is still a 17.
So it, like, you come closer to it and it kind of makes it, so that's my physical side of it, spiderily going away from you. Meanwhile, everyone else is like rushing ahead, and below you can see Euralia in the shadow of the kingfisher, and she's waist deep in water, and her hands are kind of spread out on the edges of the water. And you guys are able to easily climb down and reach her.
Okay.
It's on you.
I'm gonna, so how close are we to her, sorry?
As close as you want to be.
Great. I'm just gonna call it to her. Euralia?
She does not respond.
Euralia?
She does not respond.
Kia, is she enchanted?
I don't know. does it look like she's like walking slowly into the water?
She's yeah. Still.
She's just standing. Just still. I don't know. I can try and get a closer look. So
please do.
I'll
put on my galoshes and splish splash out. Like,
and I'm gonna, just because you're small, I'll let you take the lead, but I'm just gonna go with you in a bodyguard protective manner.
Great.
So that you can do
Beautiful.
Your good work.
So you guys Thank get you. About 12 feet away from her, and she wheels around, and this kind of like desperation and also like incredible excitement sits on her face, and she says, It's in here. Caster, it's in here.
What do you mean it's in here?
The thing is in here. She, like, pats her chest.
Thing? What thing?
Oh, my God, how are you so dense? It's in here. The thing, we talked about it. The thing that calls to me.
Oh.
I see. Well, it's not calling to me. Is it calling pretty hard to you?
Yes.
Okay,
it's like,
well,
my heart is being torn out of my chest. It's down there.
Euralia, I don't know what you mean. It's
calling to me.
Okay. Well, let us help you then.
All right.
We go.
Yeah. Can we?
Life bubble. And I just cast life bubble on all five.
Just shouts
of
life bubble. But this time, unlike last time, it's not life bubble.
Life bubble. Loy
me doy me doy.
Okay, cool.
Really?
Yeah, let's go. You're all prepped now, shall we?
All right.
Your Who is this Castors? Weird giraffe thing, though?
He's my friend. His name is Bob. We'll talk with him later. He's a little grumpy.
Okay.
For clarification, did you say he just kind of like spiders his way over before?
Yeah.
Okay, like cool. Just wanted to be sure that awful thing did happen. Cool.
You know great. How that things is, that have like super long, delicate legs.
I hate it. I wouldn't have said spidery though. They're majestic. Like that giraffe is the devil,
something
and I will not stand
awkward
for it.
About it. Right?
Don't like it.
Yeah.
And spiders.
So
are
So who all is life bubbled? Can we life bubble everybody? Even yeah. Salamander?
Salamander's on the ship. Is he with us?
Can I fit him in my bubble?
Well, how many life bubbles can you do?
Can we bring him along? Is he our goblin? Is he the goblin that the party falls in love with?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah, sorry, no, I can bubble him. I can bubble six people at a time.
Great.
Well, this is exciting.
So a teeny tiny bubble.
This is exciting. Where are we going?
Underwater.
Is it safe?
No.
It's like already sinking.
Oh no.
Amazing. That was so perfectly timed. No. No, it's not safe.
No.
Okay. And to that end, Amaruk looks back at Castor and then goes, come on.
Geronimo.
For those of you who are on the podcast, Amaruk made a very non-committal head wobble and then told Castor to come
Sorry, I forgot.
Bish, you better wobble, dude.
Yeah.
And also for those on the podcast, Castor pinched his nose before going into the water, even though he's in a life bubble.
Yeah. Nerd.
Nerd.
Thanks, Castor.
Amazing.
Jabby flips on his hood so that the, like, EDM mouse kind of looking face appears with a smiley bit and then shakes the drones set in place on his shoulders and on the back of his head. And then he dives in.
Beautiful. So
Amaruk looks at the giraffe and then dives in.
And the first thing that you notice is that this giraffe's legs go all the way down.
I hate it. I hate it even more.
Hundreds
I love it.
Of
That is the devil.
Hundreds of feet? What is
He's
wrong
so
with
tall.
You?
He's so tall.
He wants to be tall. He wants to be tall. Like Jenna Marbles.
That's
he wants to be tall.
The spirit of the forest.
I love him so much.
I think we just met the Grim Reaper.
No, his name's Robert.
He could be both. Robert could be a Reaper.
You're right.
So, you're able to see a remarkable distance through this very clear water. And you see these little silver fish dart in and out among the wreckage of this ancient city that is like just the tops of it are poking out of the water, and underneath it are wreaths of seaweed and other strange kind of fruited kelp, as well as like pieces of clinging coral that hang off of the edge of the concrete, dangling precariously, and through it weave these silverfish and longer eel-like creatures hunting them. And below you, at the very edge of your... at the very edge of the light, shimmering down through the ceiling of the water, if you will, you can see a massive city, broken and empty, stretching out ahead of you. Large shadows move between the destroyed and consumed buildings as huge fish slither back and forth looking for prey. And as you sink around the corner of the building that you're right next to comes this massive whale-like creature whose jaws spread open in this fan, sucking up water, and you find yourselves like tumbled towards it but are able to
not
just
again.
Barely swim away.
I will not be consumed.
As smaller fish and plankton alike get caught in this net before it closes its jaw and kind of weaves its way over you. This massive sings out through the water as it passes away from you. And then you notice that two of its children break off from little, like, sockets in the side of it where they were hiding to swim around it. And you continue to descend. Make sure I didn't miss any of my favorite ideas.
I'm obsessed with that whale.
See, I like the whale, but I also fear the whale in a very healthy way. I fear the whale.
As you get a little closer to these destroyed buildings down here, which look to be about, I mean, they're like 12, 15 stories tall from the broken and shattered ground underneath them, and still maintaining their structure despite the fact that it's clear that this entire shelf, well, make me a physical science check. One of yous.
I have a 12 in it.
Go for it.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So 21.
So if you were to hypothesize what happened to this city, is that the entire shelf that it was sitting on, something underneath it gave way and it collapsed, right? It looks like it, like this kind of tectonic movement doesn't make sense unless it's like a citywide sinkhole, right? But the buildings themselves are remarkably sturdy to have stood for this long, right? And you can see chunks and pieces of not asphalt but something else down below marking these streets. And as you go down, you look into the windows of these rooms, right? Some of them are peaked, some of them are square-like, some of them have arches. There's a great variety of architecture down here. And as you do, you see these shimmering, gleaming, glowing cuttlefish-like creatures that dart forward and start to swim around you up and down, like getting this little... sound as they go around you, examining you. Tentacles reach out and kind of like touch the edges of your legs and arms.
Right to poke one, just softly.
Just softly.
Loving way.
It like darts away, and a very intelligent looking eye kind of like eyeballs you and blinks.
I eyeball it back.
I'm obsessed.
Okay, great.
Where this about to go?
And below you is a large kind of, it looks almost like a bridge that spans over the street below it. And you're like falling right down on top of it. And as these cuttlefish are like swimming around you, dancing and glowing in many different colors, they change back and forth. It seems almost like they're communicating back and forth with each other with their colors. You hear it. This low rumble. And then you see it. The light coming from deeper in the ocean. And it approaches, coming closer and closer. This clearly artificial light shining out through the water. It's a kind of fluorescent glow until a train passes underneath you. Fully powered, shining light making this sound as it moves through the dark depths of the ocean.
What?
Train!
The fuck?
I literally watched Aquaman last night.
There's a city down here? I swear to God, Miles, don't you fucking give me... If you're gonna give me Gungans, you better give me some Gungans, okay?
Because... Gungans? You want Gungans?
I just want a cool underwater city, and I want mermaids. Atlantis. And if that's too much to ask, as your friend, then I don't know.
This would be helpful for learning how to make underwater bases.
Okay, I'll give you mermaids.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, there's a city underwater!
So guys, we should totally follow the train. Oh my god, there's a train. Do you think people are on it? Do you think it's just running by itself? Or... the cuttlefish? Do they power the train? Hi.
Amari is just waiting like for the train with her Lorg arms.
Fantastic. Lord. So the train passes underneath you, and this is like bullet train speed. Yeah. It moves at a remarkable speed away from you. Looks like it's going inland, right? Can I get a perception check from the best of you?
Oh, that's not gonna be me.
I doubt that that's me, but let me check.
I have a 10.
My perception is a plus 7, so.
You've got 7.
All right, Kia, take us away.
Do it, though.
That is a 21. Plus 5 if it's a vision-based perception.
It is indeed a vision-based perception check.
26, my dude.
Ooh, girl. Yes.
Oh, that zest.
So you settle onto this train, train rails below you, right? Each of you. And Fred says, "Oh, shouldn't be a train down here." And everyone agrees. Eurelia starts to, look around and says, deeper. Deeper.
Deeper?
Deeper.
How much deeper than this?
And goes to, jump off the edge of the train.
What, Eurelia!
What?
I'm gonna try to catch her.
What?
Careful. It's dangerous, you know?
Well, then let's go.
I know, but how much deeper do you need to go?
I don't know. All right. Look, Caster, I understand that you're worried. And I completely... I understand that you're worried, and I'm sorry I'm not doing the best job of respecting your worry right now. I have to do this thing, and I don't expect any of you to come along with me. Thank you for the help. I have to go, though.
Come on, Caster. We have to know, too, what's down here.
Certainly, yes. I'll go with you, Eurelia, until you need to do your business. I guess.
Okay. Thank you.
I grab my salamander friend, and he starts to glow this kind of orangish color, and it it's like a dim glow. It's a nice dim glow, but it's a 30-foot radius in case anyone cares. And I go, let's go!
He goes,
and I jump off the thing.
Oh my god.
Well, this is nice. I could get used to that. Great. Oh, tingles. Tingles down below.
I know, isn't it fun? Oh, it's great.
So you guys jump off.
So the last thing that happens before we jump off is Amaruk is just like, she's looking and everybody, she's like, we're gonna go. Everything is great. And then people start diving off into the dark, and that sense of like how large a place is becomes very real when she sees the light like diving down. And she's like,
because it gets dark.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, so she swims to keep up with the light.
The light disappears as you pass between these large buildings, into these like very canyon-like streets, right? And one of them is like slightly broken and heaving at an angle over top of you, and you're aware of that pressure and the pressure of all the water above you as Fred kind of mutters on back and forth, and Kia leads the charge into the deep. And you look back, Kia, and you see something pass over the group. It's about as long as a dolphin.
Ooh.
And has this sleek kind of skin. And it looks, it has two large fins that spread out from its central core. And it's just a moment, just a flicker. And I assume you tell everyone about this.
I don't think I do. I do. I say, there is a mermaid nearby. We're fine, though. We're good. Let's keep going.
And one passes right next to you.
Oh. Okay.
And another next to you. Okay. And another next to you. Right. And another next to you until the area around you is this swarm of these things, and you start to get a clearer look at them. They have arms that lead off of their center and a humanoid-ish face, but as one of them darts towards you, spear in hand, you can see sharp teeth spreading out to this bulbous head, and it comes for you. And that's where we're stopping right now.
No! I don't want to kill the mermaids!
You went with the Harry Potter
with
murder!
God damn it.
Dabby was just swimming with all his arms like a little manta ray and then made a very sad face.
Oh, no.
Sad manta.
Oh, man. You asked for mermaids and now they eat you.
I know,
exactly,
it's true.
Smuggles.
This is how it be.
So rude.
Thank you so much for listening to Starfound. Once again, please leave us a like or a follow or whatever it is, and a positive review wherever you are listening. And please head over to patreon.com/starfoundpod in order to pledge to help support us and get some added benefits and a mess of extra Starfound content. Thank you again for listening and for your support. And we'll be back next week. See you soon, Starfam. This podcast uses trademarks and/or copyrights owned by Paizo Incorporated, which are used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. This podcast is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo Incorporated. For more information about Paizo's community use policy, please visit paizo.com/community-use. For more information about Paizo Incorporated and Paizo products, please visit paizo.com. Music by Murder Sauce.